It's Duff's Electric Unicycle Show, starring Duff.
I have wobbles for a very long time.
Okay. I'm not sure why I'm getting double there. Okay, so you guys can hear me okay now, right? Should be able to hear me just fine. Hi, Aunt Cecilia. Yes, I will tell Cindy that. She's taking a shower right now. Okay, echo should be gone. I was just messing with settings. I'm not sure why I was hearing myself through the headphones as well. There's some little glitch there, but as long as you guys can hear me okay, that's all that really matters. So let's add let's do this as well. We'll throw that in there too. Okay, yeah, so anyways, the technical difficulties I was working on, like I said, if you could see me right now, I have a bright LED here and a smaller LED desk lamp here. I have a green screen behind me, but unfortunately, it's not as tight as it needs to be, and it's not as evenly lit as it needs to be. That's why you can see some green on this side, but this side's better. So that's something I'll tweak with, but I just thought it'd be interesting to have, this is one of my my video libraries playing. I just thought it'd be interesting to have that going at the same time. You know what I could do, though, to make it less annoying for you guys? I could do this. Yeah, I could do that. It's a little better, maybe. Okay, yeah, that's a little bit better. So anyways, hi, everybody. Is Cindy around? Hi, Kimberly. She's around. Like I said, she's taking a shower. Maybe she will stop in later. Okay, so why do I need headphones if I'm by myself? Well, the reason that you need headphones is, like, if I wanted to, like, play a video and hear something, if it came through the speakers, you would hear echo, because the speakers would get picked up by the mic here. So the audio sounds good, though, right? Because I actually realized that I had my Yeti mic backwards the last two times I've used it. Now I have it spun around, so the mic should actually be facing me as opposed to facing the wall. So sound should be good at least. And yeah, this is called a chroma key effect. Like, if you see a lot of people that like stream on Twitch, you know, video game streamers and stuff, they usually do this effect. So just messing around, something dorky to do. I do dorky things. Okay, so how's everybody doing tonight? So, Clay, you said that you can only hear, you could hear the echo, yeah, because it was coming from my headphones. So, okay, let me get some stuff front and center here. So what do you guys think about Ultron Ultra? I don't know how many of you have seen that video. I received that was the mystery vehicle the last time I had a live stream. That was my mystery vehicle that I did not reveal, and then I've revealed it since then. And you know, I had some annoying issues early on, and you know, there was a lack of documentation and that kind of stuff. I had to figure out a lot of the stuff myself as far as how certain things worked. But my contact over at Component Singapore, Elvis, has actually been helpful. He got me, you know, information to figure out most things. And then, of course, I had the annoying problem last weekend where I wound up pushing it not one day but 2 days when I ran it out of battery. So, yeah, that was kind of funny. Kimberly, remind me where you live. And you got an 18XL. Congrats. The video that I'm uploading right now to YouTube actually is on my 18L. I took it out to Ave Maria and back, trying to do a max range test. When you see the video that I'll post later tonight, you'll see the result. But yeah, I never actually tried to do a maximum range test on the 18L, so I wanted to see just how far I could go. But of course, I had Cindy ready to pick me up if need be, so it was an interesting ride. We'll say that. Okay, so Kimberly lives in Chattanooga, and Radio Rob's in Detroit. Oh, goodness. Well, it's probably freezing in Detroit, and I'm sure it's not exactly warm in Chattanooga. Yeah, riding an EUC in the rain is not fun. I mean, you can usually do it, You know, most EUCs are pretty water resistant, but it's not a lot of fun. And depending on what you're doing, it can be a little bit dangerous too. Okay, so Clay is asking, what mode do I use in my GoPro? Yeah, it's SuperView. I never realized with my GoPro 3 that I had it on SuperView, and then when I switched to the GoPro 7, the default setting was, I think, just wide or something like that, and I was holding the GoPro like I normally do, and then the first few videos with the GoPro 7, you know, you'll notice my head's cut off, or I'm trying to show you something down on the ground, and it's not in frame, because I was used to having this really big field of view, and I did not have that, so... It was a learning experience. But yeah, I have it on super wide now. I haven't tweaked the picture settings at all. And I do shoot at 60 frames per second, although I don't always upload at 60 frames per second because I found that the files, they get so damn big. Like this video today, it's 24, 25 minutes. And I actually did it at 30. I processed it at 30. And even then, it's still like 9.8 gigabytes or something like that. So if you figure I'm uploading that on Duff Xenix and I'm also uploading that on EUC Army, that's 20 gigs of data. It's a lot. So no wonder I spend so much time uploading. All right, I see this video is ending. Let's see if it rolls to the next one like it should. Yeah, it did. Okay, good. I just picked, like I said, I just picked one of my playlists and it's just gonna go through and play whatever. So, and again, this is something I can tweak over time, but it's kind of fun. Okay, just checking the chat. I'm trying to not look at the very bright LED. So Carl's responding about the Ultron Ultra. Looks super fun. Has one too many wheels. Yeah, it's definitely different. And I don't think riding the scooter has the cool factor that an EUC does, or a one wheel, or even an electric skateboard. But damn, that thing is strong. If you saw that top speed video where I hit 94 kilometers an hour, or for us in the United States, 58 miles per hour, from the dead start, when I squeeze that trigger, both of those wheels and the tires on the Ultra are fat. They're very fat tires. And both motors, they spun for a while until they got traction, and then it just accelerated like a rocket. It's crazy. So, I mean, if you're one of those people that really, really likes to go fast, yeah, you're not going to go any faster than a scooter. Not that I advise going that fast. Like, I would never go that fast on a regular ride or around traffic. That test I did was on one of our cross streets that is a dead end, dead straight, no traffic. The road surface, I know the road surface is solid. There's no potholes or anything like that. So that's really the only time you would see me test the speed like that. I would normally not do that, nor do I have the need to go that fast. So, William's here. Hey, what's up, William? Glad to see you. Let me just send a message to Cindy so she can see that when she gets out, maybe. I have two dogs under the desk. I have nowhere to put my feet. They just like to be close at all times for some reason. Okay, just letting her know. All right, so we're just reviewing the chat. Aunt Cecilia had more snow in Illinois. I feel bad for you. That does not seem like a place I would want to be living right now. Jose is in New Jersey. 32 degrees in New Jersey. Yeah, a little too cold for me. Joey Spindler asked, did I get a new helmet? Seen it on Instagram. Now, I've had that for a while. It's a AAA full-face helmet. You just don't see me wear it very much because I can't drink coffee in it. You know, because of the chin bar, I've tried. Believe me, I can't get a coffee cup in there. So that's why you don't see me wearing that all that often. I should wear it more often because it's obviously safer. And today, I don't think you could see in the Instagram pics, but I actually had on a reflective vest, a.k.a. what Chooch wears. I saw Chooch's video on his safety gear, and one of the things that you always see him riding is one of those high visibility reflective vests. And I was out shopping with Cindy yesterday, and right there on the rack was reflective vests, and I'm like, okay, well, $20, I'll get one. Because, with as much as I ride in traffic, I figure I can't be too visible. So you'll see in the video that when it finishes uploading today, that's what I wore today. And it was comfortable, didn't really get in my way, wasn't a problem. Maybe not the most fashionable thing, but not bad. Okay. So anyways, yeah, the helmet's cool. Although I do like that helmet that Marty got, his most recent helmet. I think it's called, is it a Scorpion? It's a full-face helmet, but it has a drop-down visor and then a drop-down sun visor behind that, and the chin piece actually can rotate up and out of the way, so I could drink coffee and wear a full-face helmet. So maybe down the road I'd look at something like that. I don't know. Just been trying to cut back on my PEV spending, but it's always a battle. Jose, a Gawai Nikola or King Song 18XL or M Super? Well, a Gawai Nikola is not available until March, I believe, and that is one of the things I actually have in my notes, that there was a video of, I think it was Russian guys again. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not the Russian guys, it was Kuji. Kuji somehow got invited to ride the Nikola. So yeah, I was going to talk about that some more. Nikola looks okay. A Nikola versus an M Super MSX. I mean, it's kind of six of one, half dozen. Hey, I just did the same hand motion I did in the video there. It's kind of six of one, half dozen of another, because it has the same power plant as an MSX. I think it's just a matter of visually what you like more. I think the Nikola is certainly more visually active than the MSX. I think the MSX has a more subtle look to it. Probably a more dated look as well. I think the Nikola looks more modern. So if you're going between those two, assuming that the Nikola is okay, I would never want to buy the first one, just to make sure that there's no glaring Gawai safety problems with it. But I think visually the Nikola is cooler looking, personally. So, and then as far as an 18XL, I mean, an 18XL... King Song build quality is on another level than Gawai. Gawai is definitely better. They've definitely been doing a better job, but it still does not compare to a King Song as far as build quality goes, in my opinion. And the 18XL, I loved it. The guys in New York loved it. Chooch loved it. Marty loved it. Marty's getting one. Last time I heard, he's actually getting one, so he obviously liked it. And the guys in Northern California, I believe they had it. I don't know if they still have it, but they had it, and their reports were all good as well. I mean, it's a very, very solid wheel. It's not as fast as an MSX. Top speed will be somewhere around 31 miles an hour, but that's awful fast on an EUC, and more than I need to sustain for any period of time. So, cost-wise, you're going to probably be very, very similar between the two. So, I mean, I'm at the point of my life where I appreciate something that's well built and has a quality feel to it, and I think the 18XL probably has an edge in that department. So if I could only get one of those three wheels, I would probably get an 18XL. That's just me. Okay. Radio Rob wants to know how tall I am. I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'3" something like that. So I got a lot of wind drag when I'm riding that. I should factor that in when I do my range test. But yeah, I'm about 6'3". My riding weight with all my gear is probably 190 pounds, something like that. Whatever that works out to be in kilos. Aunt Cecilia says that's how pets are. Your cats are asleep. Yes, yes. The dogs like to hang around me as much as possible. And Cindy. But for some reason, this little cubby under my desk is like their favorite spot. Elsa, if I was at my desk all day, Elsa would not move. She would just stay there, and she likes to use my foot as a pillow. That's her thing. So it's a good dog spot. Rocky Top, I rode with a cup of coffee last Tuesday. Oh, there you go, man. I could not stop thinking that I was pulling a Duff. Yeah, you know what? That is true. I never really thought about it, but I am actually a pioneer in the coffee drinking EUC riding phenomena. I don't know that I see anybody else drinking coffee when they're riding. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I mean, I've seen a lot of EUC videos, but for some reason, I'm the pioneer with coffee drinking on an EUC. I don't know why that is. It's not that hard, right, Rocky? Wasn't it? Some people think it's really hard to do, but it really is not. Jose saw the videos. Okay, good. Brett says Coogee is all right with me. Yeah, I like Coogee. Yeah, he's good. He does a good job with the way he puts his videos together. They're usually pretty quick and concise. You know, some people like it. You know, a lot of people like quick videos because, you know, no one has time for anything nowadays. So, oh, Cindy, give me a kiss. Yeah, he puts in nice, quick videos. It might not have the detail some people are looking for, but he gets his point across, and he's obviously a very skilled rider. So, yeah, I like Coogee's videos. And I thought his video on the Nicola was pretty good as well. I did not see a problem with it. Nice earring. Let's see. Do I have an earring in? I don't know. But does it look like I have an earring? Maybe you're seeing the lettering, on the chair behind me. No, I typically do not wear earrings. Except once when I used to play volleyball all the time, I actually had a magnetic earring that I would put in at times. And somehow I thought that was like an advantage when I was playing, which was asinine. But yeah, I had it was a little ball earring that you put in the lobe of your ear, and you had a magnet on the backside. And to be honest with you, it hurt quite a bit. it made my ear go numb. Radio Rob says, I'm 6 foot looking to get an MSX for seated ride. Yeah, so, I have a Gateway Monster. You may or may not know that. And as far as seated riding goes, that's good for me. I don't know that I would be able to get down on an MSX and be comfortable to ride it. You know, I have very, very long legs. I don't have great knees. I don't have great flexibility. So that would be kind of painful for me to crouch down far enough to get on an 18-inch wheel. But, you know, some people, like I've seen Chooch, like he can get down on probably a 14-inch wheel and ride it around in seated position like that. I know he used to do it on his ACM. So, yeah, but I'm not comfortable bending down that far outside of the Monster. And even then, it's a little... A little shaky. You're going to bed, Aunt Cecilia? Okay. Thanks for stopping in, as always. I appreciate it. Daniel Montenegro. I noticed eWheels has removed all 9-bob products from the website, including the Z10. No shit. Really? Let me look. That's interesting. Does anyone else know about that? I would assume Jason would have said something on like the Electric Unicycle forum or something if he's pulling them down. I know he was saying a couple months ago that he was getting very frustrated with the lack of support from 9-bod as far as getting parts because he had about a 10% failure rate on his Z10s, bad system boards. Wow. Yeah, no, I do not see them on the site. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah, if anyone else knows anything about that, I'd be curious to know what happened. But if I was to fathom a guess, I would say that it's probably because of bad support. Because I know when the Z10 was announced, you know, Jason had said that he was very interested in like getting, you know, really establishing himself as a 9-bod seller, because he felt like he kind of missed the boat with the 9-bod 1 series, you know, the E+ and all them. So he was looking forward to doing it on the Z10, but I have a feeling that sentiment has changed. Wow, that's interesting. So in the U.S., let's see, well, where else would you buy a Z10 from in the U.S.? I'm not sure what other 9-bod dealer. Well, there's 9-bod U.S., 9bodusa.com or something like that. Let me look it up. That's very interesting that he is not selling them anymore. That is very interesting. Yeah, ninebot.us.com. Let's see if they have Z10s on there. Scooters. Huh, interesting. Ninebot.us has scooters, has mini pros, has the big scooters, it has those stupid Segway drift e-skates, it has a Ninebot go-kart. No e-use. Yeah. It has the Ninebot 1. No Ninebot Z10. Yeah, huh. Where do you get a Z10 at in the U.S. now? Interesting. That's very interesting. Have to see if I can find out some more about that. Yeah, eBay. Yeah, of course, eBay. You can always buy them on eBay, but that's kind of rolling the dice. Especially if it's a China distributor. That's really, really shady. Left ear dangler. You're seeing the lettering on the chair. Z10 dead batteries. The batteries die when in storage, Rocky Top says. So, they die after how long? But did you hear something from Jason or eWheels regarding his decision? I had not heard about the dead batteries. See, that's a shame because quality control and you know, the build quality of the Z10 seemed very professional. I remember Chris Yim's teardown of the Z10. The internals all looked very solid. But if they are not supporting the product, that's a big mistake. I mean, you can only do that so many times until consumers will just say, you know, screw you, we're not going to deal with you anymore. Because a Z10 is an expensive wheel, and if that expensive wheel dies and you don't have any way to remediate that relatively quickly, no one's going to buy your product again. Okay, I'm now on Speedy Feet's site, and I want to see, does he have Z10s? He has the Ninebot 1E Pluses too, and he has a Ninebot 1S too. Wow. Oh, wait, okay. He does. Ian does still have it on his store, but it's sold out. You cannot order one. Yeah, I'll have to look into that some more. That's really, really interesting. Because as a dealer, obviously that makes the dealers look bad. You know, if they're not able to support their wheel, if they can't get parts, their hands are tied. And if Ninebot is like, hey, screw you, you know, that's. You're going to lose dealer support, and when you lose dealer support, you're going to lose a lot of business. That's a big shame. So Radio Rob says the internals are bad. Well, like I mentioned, I know that Jason had a problem with system boards failing. I did not hear about the battery thing. You know, usually with the lithium battery, they say you shouldn't store it fully charged, and you don't want to store it discharged. So I'm curious, what period of time you're talking about that the batteries go bad when they're not used, because obviously when you live in an area where there's winter and you're not going to be able to ride the thing, it's not going to be uncommon for somebody to just forget to charge the wheel. So I'd say most of the time that happens, you're still able to recover, but if the batteries die in the Z10, oh man, imagine replacing that if they don't cover it under warranty. That would be ridiculous. So Rocky Top says, okay, so you heard that Jason was removing them. They die after 2 to 4 months. You have to disassemble to revive. Interesting. No, I know Marty's is still going strong, but maybe he is the exception and not the rule. That's really unfortunate, though, if that is the case. That would kind of suck. So Carl says his friend did AliExpress. He had a failed Z10, got a replacement that works after a month. So Carl, in that situation, though, see, that's always what I wonder, like in that situation when you're buying direct from China or AliExpress or whatever, or Alibaba, how does that work? He has to ship it back first, and then they ship him another one? And who pays that shipping cost? Because, I mean, the shipping is outrageous. Like, how did that work? Logistically, how did that work? Because that would be, you know, you're talking hundreds of dollars to ship to China, and it takes forever. So that's why I don't know that I would ever do that. Although my Ultron, I did buy direct from Singapore, not China, from Singapore. And if something was dead on it, I'd probably be out of luck, more than likely. But I would hope Elvis would try to take care of me, depending on what it is. But yeah, that is a risk when you're buying overseas. If you intend to rely heavily on support, that is not your best option for sure. Carl says the Z10 is a sweet wheel when it works. Yeah, I liked it when I had the demo. I liked it. It's definitely unique. It's definitely the most unique riding EUC. Well, outside of the M10 III. But it's a very, very different experience than most EUCs out there. But man, that would suck if the Z10 turns out to be another 9BOT1P. I don't know how many of you remember the 9BOT1P model that they introduced after the 9BOT1E. The 9BOT1P was a higher performance wheel that it could go, I don't know, close to 20, somewhere around 20. And it had a fatal flaw in the system boards. The boards were dying on those things left and right, and they got so sick of replacing them, they just discontinued it. It was just kind of a disaster, and they hadn't released any higher performance wheels since then. You know, they had the 9BOT1 S1 and S2, which are beginner wheels, 14-inch wheels. So the Z10 was basically their first time dipping their toe back into the high-performance EUC market, and that's a shame if the reliability is as bad as it's sounding here. That would be very disappointing. So Rocky Top says, regarding the Z10 batteries, that you have to keep the charge up. Okay, so, I mean, generally speaking, that is the consensus that, you know, you can't let a lithium battery run down to zero, but it should take a while for that to happen. I wonder if there's something that's causing them to discharge quicker, maybe. So I guess it could be prevented if you got a reminder on your phone, hey, recharge your Z10, you know, every week or 2 weeks, something like that. But yeah, it should not be that severe that the pack is destroyed and you're done. That's no good. Okay, so Carl, referring to the person that bought their Z10 on AliExpress, says that, okay, so the seller paid for that shipping. And he shipped. Oh, okay. Well, that's nice that they did that. That does not seem to, at least from some of the experiences that I've heard, that does not seem to always be the case that the seller will pay for that shipping. But good. So Joey Spindler says, I've got 250 miles on my Z10 so far with no problem. Okay, knock on wood. Knock on fake wood. Yes. Yes, Carl, I'm sure it does depend on the seller. That's what I mean. You're kind of rolling the dice when it comes to buying on eBay, buying on AliExpress, buying on Alibaba. Radio Rob says, the P model was the worst one. Yes, it has a terrible reliability record, but hopefully the Z10 does not eclipse that. I remember Ian reviewing the P and how it was so fast at the time. It was like a really fast wheel, but it did not. It was not long lived at all. I don't know. They were selling them for more than 6 months, if that. And they just blew up like crazy. Radio Rob does not like 9BOT. Well, I don't see me buying a 9BOT EUC anytime soon, and I certainly wouldn't buy a Z10, at least not the current batch. And, you know, maybe it'll come out the Z11 or the Z10.1, you know, where they address these reliability issues. But that's a bummer. So much. I'm getting distracted watching the video going in the background. Looks like it's an old. These are older videos. Most of these. It looks like a Dunkin' Donuts run on the M Super. Speaking of the M Super, I am going to probably wind up selling that. So maybe I'll put it on the EUC forums or something. But I have too many wheels. I really should sell one to make some space. I had the Dualtron scooter in my hobby room space for sure. All right, so I am caught up on chat, and it's Coogee Rolls on YouTube. That's the name of his YouTube channel. Let's see if I can just put that over my other video that's playing right now. Can I do it? Maybe. I can probably just stop that one. And I can do this. Do that. And I don't have my headphones on, so I can't really hear it, but that's okay. And I'm not going to really talk because I don't think you guys can really hear me when this kind of stuff is going on. I don't believe so. But I can stop it for a second. So he actually went to the Gateway offices. Evidently, that's what the Gateway offices look like. Here you can see just how this is something that I've commented on. I think Marty's commented on just how fat the top of that thing is because of the integrated trolley handle. I mean, that's just trying to carry that thing. I mean, unless you're a rock climber, you're going to really struggle to carry that thing for any appreciable distance. He mentioned the how it has a voltmeter on it, which I don't get. That mean it's nice to have the voltmeter, but I think you should have a voltmeter and a battery indicator. Maybe it will. Like maybe the LEDs on the side can also show battery level. Maybe, but if your only option for reading battery level is that voltmeter, I think that's a mistake. So we'll see. And then here you get the interesting side profile. It's funny. Before I saw a comparison of the MSX and the Nikola, and the Nikola looked even bigger than it does now, side by side of the MSX. It doesn't look quite as monstrous as I thought it did before. So, yeah, I mean, of those three wheels there, I think it's clearly the best looking wheel, without a doubt. Oh, actually, okay, I had the sound turned off, so now yeah, you're not hearing any sound. So you can hear me as I show you this. So. Comparison of the pedals. The Nikola pedals are bigger than standard Gateway pedals, although I don't know why. I mean, I like the M Super design. I thought at some point Coogee said that these felt a little bit slippery, even though they are huge. That surface looks like something that would wear out quickly, you know. And once it wears out, it could get very slick, especially when wet. 3-amp charger, 1600-watt battery at the top end, 7 hours to charge. Yeah, it's a good wheel. A good-looking wheel. I don't know if it's a good wheel. It's a good-looking wheel. Nice fat tire. I thought it was funny at some point in this, he's tricking on it a little bit, and yeah, he hops the thing. It's pretty good, because he hops it in other... I don't know if there's any appreciable pads on that. I guess there's a little bit of padding on it, but you got to really squeeze that thing to hop it like that. But at some point, he's tricking on it, and I think it kind of gets away from him, and he dumps it. Nothing terrible. But yeah, this whole video is like 6 minutes long, so it's not that long. Big tire should be good for off-roading. The pedal height for as big as that wheel appears to be, the pedals seem kind of on the low side, don't they? I like the Gateway guys behind him. I guess they're filming him for their own video. Lovely trolley handle. Trolley handle's fine. And let's see. What's he doing here? High speed braking. I think this is where he dumps it. I think doing tight circle. Oh, he's that's right. He catches the pedal. Low pedals. Yeah, there you go. That's the downfall of a low pedal. Oh, it does have side pads though. Okay. Oh, you know what? That had. Look at that. I didn't. That's the first time I saw that. It has two. There's two sets of pads. Interesting. You see that? You got a low set, which is almost as thick as the top set. So that's how he jumped it. That's interesting because, yeah, you could get your ankle bone under that lower set and definitely jump it. But I don't remember the first model having two sets of pads. I don't know of any electric unicycle that has two big sets of pads like that. Interesting. All right, so anyways, there's Coogee. Good job, Coogee. Like your stuff. And it seems to me like this was very well received by everybody, so good stuff. All right, start that up again. And look at my exciting footage. Doesn't compare to Coogee, but yeah, I do what I can. Can I get that bigger? There we go. All right, so Daniel Montenegro says, I was waiting for the second generation of the Z10, but doesn't seem likely it will be on e-wheels for sale. Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem it. If he pulled it down, I'd be very surprised to see it come back. And I haven't heard any news of a second generation of a Z10, so I wonder what their sales are overall, like if their sales numbers are exceeding what they hoped or if they're disappointing. I don't know any way that we would find out. I guess Jason could tell us. He might know, but I have not heard anything otherwise. Okay, Carl says that the Nikola looks obnoxious to lift. I agree. It does look obnoxious to lift. I think I said this previously, like if you were trying to use that to, or if you lived on a second floor, you had to carry it upstairs. Oh man, that would be ugly. Very, very ugly. Or trying to lug it into a train quickly or move it in any way without the trolley handle quickly. That would be a pain. Oh, look how long my beard is there. I look like a homeless person. Wow. Steven Lyon. I don't remember if I've seen you in the stream before or not, Steven. Any one wheel is as fast as M10 and as light. I used to commute and carry on and off subway. Well, what do you mean? Any EUCs as fast as an M10? Well, an M10, I think theoretically, its top speed is listed as 25 miles an hour. I've never gone that fast in an M10. It's just too small. It does not feel stable at speed to me. As far as light wheels, I mean, the Gotway MCM5s, 14-inch wheel. The Kingsong 14S is a light wheel, but it's nothing like an M10-3. There really isn't anything else like an M10-3 that I'm aware of, anything in that small of a form factor with that strong of a motor. I think it's an 800-watt motor in an M10-3. So, yeah, it's kind of a unique beast. Downside being it has no trolley handle. I mean, you can rig something to it, but, yeah, it does not have a trolley handle, so... But it is light enough that you can pick it up and carry it short distances and not kill yourself. Rocky Top says, I am sure that if Nightingale fixes the problem, e-wheels will sell it again. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. How do you know that it's fixed? You know, it's bad enough that they had the system board problems, but then throw on battery problems on top of it? I don't know. Becomes more trouble than it's worth for Jason at some point, and it sounds like it might have crossed over that point. I wonder if Ian's had similar problems. I haven't heard him say anything about having a lot of problems with the Z10s that he's sold, but yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe Jason got an overly defective batch. All right, so let's look at my notes here. How crazy, okay. Obviously, if you've been looking at my channel, you've seen a lot of scooter content. You know, the Dualtron 2 EX Limited, and now the Ultron Ultra. And yeah, as I was YouTube, you know, since I watched a lot of scooter videos leading up to buying one, it suggests other scooter videos. So one of the things that got suggested to me was something called the Weeped, which is another South Korean. South Korea is real big into making scooters because that's where Dualtron's Mini Motors and Dualtron is based in South Korea. And then we had these Weepeds. I don't know if anyone's heard of these, but supposedly they cost as much as a used car. They're kind of crazy. Let's see if I can get that. Let me get this video up. Can I do it? Got sound off, okay, so you can hear me. They have an array of four LED lights there that rotate down, almost like old Corvette headlights. They rotate down, and you turn them on, they rotate up. They're probably enough to blind you when you're facing them. But yeah, just take a look at these things. You know, crazy LEDs. Performance-wise, they might have 2,700-watt motors in them. It's just, it's insane. I mean, look how bright those headlights are. It's just like, it's crazy. And they're obviously cruising at vehicle speed. Definitely not a Chinese knockoff design. It's something totally different from what Dualtron's use as well. It reminds me almost of the Dualtron's coming out with a new top-of-the-line model called the Dualtron X. And this reminds me of a Dualtron X. It's good to see the guy's wearing a helmet. He has some sort of backpack that's going doing all sorts of color cycling, so he's very visible, obviously. And he's going very fast. So yeah, that is called Weeped. I think that their channel on YouTube is actually called Weeped, W-E-P-E-D. If you want to see this whole video, check it out. This whole video is basically them just ripping up the street and just looking insane. But higher end scooters, I mean, they have not only incredible motors, but the higher end Dualtrons, for example, they have ABS brakes. You know, anti-lock brakes on a scooter, it's crazy. It's crazy. But then the cost is crazy as well. Just hold on one second. Just checking one thing. Kimberly Cindy said hi, by the way, if you're still there. Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. Around in a while, Kimberly. You were here for last two shows. I don't think I've seen you. Oh, so so Steven says that you've been watching for over a year and don't chime in much. Okay, well that's cool. I'm like that a lot of times. Like on the EUC forums, for example, you know, certain people post on there constantly. You know, like Marty. I don't know. Probably has 5 million posts at this point. I have maybe a few hundred. You know, I digest things, but I'm not always apt to say as much, you know, which is kind of weird. You know, since I, obviously on my channel, I say a lot of things. Oh, speaking of my channel, did I get there? I was as of this afternoon, I was 5 subscribers away from 5,000 subscribers, which is a big number. Let me see if I got there. Probably didn't, but yeah, almost at 5,000 subscribers. Thank you. Anyone that's watching that's a subscriber, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. It's awesome. You know, by YouTube standards, 5,000 isn't a whole lot, but to me it is. And, you know, percentage of growth-wise, I'm growing percentage-wise pretty quick. You know, I'm not a viral sensation, but I have very steady growth in my channel. I'm very happy about it. Okay, let's see what I got. Oh, 4,997 subscribers. So close. So close. 3 more to 5,000. And I'll surely do some sort of funny video for 5,000. Don't know what it's going to be, but I'll do something. Oh, Kim, Rocky Top's your husband. I probably knew that, but I probably knew it and forgot it at the same time. I mean, there's so many names that I can't keep track of them. I just cannot do it. Oh, that's cool. This video that's playing right now, this is when Katie was first learning. She was on that piece of shit $200 EUC that I had for a while that I gave away to her half-brother, actually. Yeah, there she is. It's amazing how quickly the kids picked it up compared to me. So Gadget Fan says the WePed site shows 73 kilometers top speed. Really? That's surprising to me. Nope. Okay, see a Pinterest site that shows that. But it shows the power. That doesn't sound right. 4,500 watts of power? Nah, I can't believe that it doesn't go faster than that. If you saw my speed test on the Ultron, I did 72 with just using one of the 1,600 watt motors. So, I bet maybe they have to be conservative in what they list. There are some scooter manufacturers or dealers that will intentionally say that the speed is less just to avoid legal complications, because certain places you can only have an electric device that goes up to a certain speed. Sometimes you'll read that, like, they actually put a speed limiter on the scooter that will limit its speed, that you can easily remove yourself. But it's a very common thing. Jose A says wow. He says wow about something. Something impressed Jose. I'm not quite sure what it was. All right. Next on my list, there was a post that Nevin from Tech Toys. I wonder if he sells Ninebot. Does Tech Toys sell Ninebot? I don't think they do. Nevin's a good dealer. I actually bought my MCM4 from him, I think. Yeah, I got my MCM4 from Nevin from Tech Toys. Let's see, does he sell Ninebot? I know he sells Gotway. Unicycles. Okay, oh, he sells Kingsong. Okay, Kingsong. I see an MSX. I see an M10-3. No, he does not sell Ninebot either. Yeah, I got the impression that it's kind of a pain to become a Ninebot dealer. So anyways, oh, my point. I lost my point. My point was that Nevin posted on one of the EUC groups on Facebook that he had a blown board in front of him, and it was a an 84-volt M-Super. Yeah, just an M Super, probably a V3 or something like that, that had a blown board. And, you know, the M Supers, the older M Supers, not the MSX, but the previous generation had a lot of issues with blown boards. But then when you read the rest of the posts, I'll just read it to you anyways. Some people, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, some people don't take good care of their EUCs. I have seen one day to sometimes 3 to 4 years. Okay, I'm trying to make sense of this. Some have EUCs that look brand spanking new even after 2 years of everyday use, while others wash their EUCs completely down with a high-pressure washer and destroy their brand new toy in one day. In parentheses, don't do this. Don't take a high-pressure washer to your EUC. Even though they are water-resistant, they are not necessarily waterproof. So, don't take it to the car wash. But anyways, This M Super that he had in his shop with a blown board, it had supposedly, this seems crazy, 18,000 miles on it. 18,000 miles. Obviously, it's his primary vehicle. And he says that the rider rode daily for 18,000 miles. That's amazing. I've never heard of a wheel with that kind of mileage on it. I can't believe that the battery would last through that many cycles. That's really, really impressive. So you may or may not have seen that, but that's at least, from my recollection, that is a record as far as mileage on a wheel. Seeing if I can get Cindy in here. I might have to. She hates this LED light, so I might have to. Yeah, that's better. That's a little better. So, anyways, yeah, 18,000 miles on an EUC. I don't know if anybody out there, like, what's the most mileage you have on any of your EUCs? I think actually the most miles I have on a single EUC is probably my M Super, and that's 900 miles, maybe. So yeah, I mean, I don't put tons and tons of mileage on my wheels. Like when I opened up my Monster to fix the flat, you know, the inside of it, it looked brand new, you know, because my riding conditions, it's dry. I hardly ever ride through rain. I don't ride in dirty conditions normally. You know, I don't do a lot of trail riding. So yeah, my M Super, or I'm sorry, my Monster. Looks very, very clean. Okay. Oh, let me check. Just hop back here in chat for a second. The fat unicyclist has retracted his message. Well, that's okay. I wish I could do that more in real life. If I say something stupid, if I could retract it, I'd love it. I'm surprised a hunka hunka's not in here. No hunka. It's too bad. Are you coming, Cindy?
I'm coming.
Yeah, well, do you want me to turn off this big LED? I can turn it off for now. Okay. Cindy's.
Do they know I have MS and the lights kill me?
Yeah, okay. Cindy doesn't like bright lights. She's gonna look like Casey Neistat. She's gonna have you don't need the headphones right now.
No. Just careful.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah. Oh man, overhead lighting, side lighting, this is crap. I can't even see anything. I don't even know what.
Huh?
Kimberly is still in chat. Hi, Kimberly. You told me not to put the headphones on though, right?
You don't need the headphones.
Right, because I can't even read. Sorry, guys, my eyes are really messed up. Well, it's this eye, but it's part of the MS, so I can't help it. But bright lights really suck. And he's got all these bright lights trying to do a screen here. So I hope everybody's okay. Classify scooters. Let's see. I'm just catching up reading everything. Let's see, what are you guys talking about? Nobody's talking to me, so.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm reading the chat thing. Well, oh, hi, Kim. See, Kimberly, she's so nice. Hi. No, it's just I have MS too, and so the just one of the bad symptoms is this eye just feels like something's stabbing me all the time, and bright lights. I can't do bright lights at all. So, other than that, life's good. So, it's all good. You coming? How long does it take you to pee? Your boy. It should take like a minute and 20 seconds. Oh, okay. The yummy nuts I got you today at the vintage. Oh, you like my shades. These are good shades. I like these.
Brett says,
hey, Brett. Yeah, it's really hard to read that with all the lights. And I think I got an allergy thing going on. We went to the vintage market today, and there was a lot of, like, vintage things covered in dust and some weird stuff, but it's cool. Let's go kite surfing. Yes! But I'm a true Floridian, so the water temperature has to be warm. Sorry. But I used to have a wetsuit, but it's not so good anymore. So, you guys, I need your help. Convince Sean not to go over 40 miles an hour on any vehicle from now on. You like that?
No.
You gonna turn on my lightsaber? Stop. I'm here to say you need to stop going too fast.
Rainbow saber,
it's rainbow. It's rainbow. It's really cool. Katie gave me this. Let's go, Clay. When are we going to ride? Does Clay have the Meepo board? Oh, have you tried the... Oh, he needs to come try the Ranger. Mm. I love the Ranger. Are you back?
Yeah.
Bye, guys. See you later.
Take your glow stick.
My glow stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the sun gel last one. I should do it myself.
Do you want
them? No, I'm just kidding. I'm all right. I'm living. It's the button on the bottom.
I can't see.
Well, take your sunglasses off and you can probably see a lot better.
Take the sunglasses off, the button just... Oh, it's a push button.
Yeah.
What does this? Wait.
That's what it means.
Oh, wait. Did you know about that?
Oh, no. I didn't know that there's different speeds.
And that?
Mm-hmm.
Fancy. Okay.
It's very fancy. Cindy says bye. Kimberly says bye.
Oh, she's so nice.
Okay. I'm just going back here. So Brett says, why not just classify scooters as motorcycles so we can insure them and not have to worry about run-ins with Leo? Well, I guess you could. I mean, in Florida, you see lots of those real low-end motorized scooters that have a top end of like 35 miles an hour, and even those you can license. But boy, is it annoying to get behind those in a car. You know, if they're actually in the regular traffic lanes, because they're just a little too slow to really hang with cars. And as an electric scooter, really, it's the same deal. It's not fast enough to keep up with most traffic for a prolonged period of time. So, I don't know. I don't know that I'd want to license my electric scooters or not. But I could see the advantage of it. I mean, if that's the option versus not being able to ride them at all, yeah, that would suck. That would really suck. Gadget Fan says, you had 415 miles on your 18L before you sold it. Why did you sell your 18L and you sold it for what? What did you buy something else? What was the reasoning there? Let's do that. Everyone likes to see Cindy. Yep. So, Brett, you're talking about kick-type scooters? What do you mean, license a kick-type scooter? I'm not sure. I'm probably just misunderstanding. I've been known to do that. Oh, man. My video that I'm uploading in the background is only 70% done. Okay, so let's see. What else do I have here on my show list? Again, it was talking about the Ultron and the top speed, 94 kilometers an hour. It's an interesting experience. The big question that I get asked by some people, because some scooter people have found me because obviously I've been doing some scooter videos, is why would you want a Chinese, knockoff scooter, basically, which the Ultra is. If you look on AliExpress, if you look on Alibaba, you'll see a bunch of scooters with a very similar construction. And I would say, basically, it all comes down to just bang for your buck. I mean, if you do not have a price sensitivity, then I would say absolutely get a Dualtron. There is definitely a large difference between the Dualtron scooter and the Ultron as far as fit and finish, as quality components. And you can tell that the Dualtron is a better made scooter. That being said, is it almost double? Is it worth double the price? I mean, the raw performance specs on the Ultron are very similar to the Thunder, the Dualtron Thunder, which I mentioned in one of the videos. Is I think eWheels is selling it for $3,800 or $3,900. You know, the Ultron, including shipping, was $1,700. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. I guess it's a matter of what's important to you. You know, if money is not a consideration, definitely get the best. You know, get the best out there. You know, you pay a premium, but you're getting a very quality product for that money. If you're just looking for just some more bare bones thrills, and you don't necessarily have as much money to spend, maybe something like this is more up your alley. There's definitely pluses and minuses to it. And that's really one of the reasons that I got it, is I just wanted to, I didn't want to spend you know, the kind of money that I did on the Dualtron, but I just wanted to, you know, have something to compare it against. So now I have it. And I'm going to be doing some more testing too. Hi, Sadie. What's up, honey? What's up? Sit down. You can't see her, but Sadie is. You can kind of see the top of her head. Sadie is sitting right here. Good girl. Good girl. Yeah. Okay, let me get back to the chat here. What do we got? Okay, Brett says, as far as scooters goes, the ones that you stand on. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, because I think technically, I mean, by Florida law, this scooters and probably, well, I think the EUCs are in a gray area because they're only one wheel. But scooters, probably by Florida law, if a policeman wanted to be a prick, it probably is technically illegal to be riding a scooter on the roads. Like I think they're, if you read the verbiage, it's like off-road use only, not on public roads, blah blah blah. So I mean, where does that leave you? You know, you shouldn't be riding it on sidewalks. So yeah, it could get ugly fast. And unfortunately, what's going to happen is, you know, there'll be like an incident, or when someone's on a scooter and somebody gets hurt or killed or something like that, and then there's going to be a big spotlight on it, and then that's when all the shit hits the fan. So I'm hoping to avoid that as long as we can. But I will not be surprised when it happens. Gadget Fan says, you sold the 18L and used the money to buy an 84-volt MSX. Oh, okay. So what is your opinion? Like owning the 18L and then going to the MSX? Because I've never ridden an MSX. You know, I know a lot of people that have them, but I've never ridden one. Are you happy with that decision? What did you think of the quality difference between the 18L and the MSX? MSX can definitely go faster. I've heard multiple people talk about going, you know, 40 miles an hour or even into the low 40s on an MSX, whereas an 18L will only get you to 31 or so. If you got the 1600 watt hour battery, you obviously have a lot more range on the MSX than you would on an 18L. An 18XL would probably beat you range-wise, but not speed-wise. So yeah, I'm curious if you're happy with that trade. And how much did you sell your 18L for? I'm curious what the used 18L market is like. Okay. Yeah, sitting in front of these lights, it gets a little hot too, I've noticed. Okay, what do we got here? Okay, so the only other thing I have in my notes is I've gotten some comments on the videos. Most people, you know, that are subscribers to my channel are pretty used to my content. My videos are typically not very short. Like the video that I did on the speed test is probably one of the shorter ones you'll find, and that was somewhere around 8 minutes. Some people are a lot more concise with their content and their videos, and I know that, you know, the world in general is a very short attention span place. So some people appreciate longer videos. I know that I appreciate them usually. as long as it's something that holds my interest. But a lot of people, they'll see a video that is more than 10 minutes long and they'll be like, I don't have time for that. So, and I am conscious of that, believe it or not. I edit out a lot of stuff. As long as my videos are sometimes, I still do edit out a bunch. But I have been trying to become less verbose, believe it or not, but it's not always easy. I don't know, just for whatever reason, when I'm trying to convey my thoughts on things, I tend to get more lengthy in my answers. And some people appreciate that, some people don't. So I don't really know what the point of that was in my notes, but I threw it in there for some reason. So yeah. And that covers my show notes. So Gadget Fan says, so you don't have an MSX. Okay, so Gadget Fan sold his 18L but does not have the MSX yet. So how long have you been waiting for that? You said that you're supposed to get it the third week of February. That was the other thing that I really liked about my purchase of the Ultron was, from the point that I paid, I got it in 3 weeks. That was kind of nice. Because I can't tell you last time, let's see, what's the last wheel I bought from eWheels that they actually had in stock? Maybe the Monster? Yeah, I think the Monster might have been in stock. Yeah, I think that was in stock, but every other wheel that I've worked, and like in motion, the Emotion V5Fs that I bought, those might have been even before the Monster, but those I think were in stock as well. But anything recently, it seems like it's the stock's not on hand, or it's back ordered, or there's like a waiting list, and I don't know that I've gotten anything in less than 2 months, sometimes 3 months, depending on what it was. So it was nice to be able to turn that around pretty quickly. Oh. Jose says, Jose enjoys the long videos. Well, good. Thank you, Jose. Especially the one you did of the Kingsong 18XL. Okay, well, if you like long Kingsong 18XL videos, the video that I'm uploading right now is 25 minutes almost. Let's see here. I'll give you a sneak peek. World premiere, since you guys are sitting here in the stream with me. Let me see if I can make this work.
I don't have a favorable headwind now.
No. Your device is low battery.
Not very well. Looks like it's playing back slowly.
Please charge it.
No. There's sound of that too.
I think I gotta get off.
Yeah, okay. It is playing the sound.
Hey, how you doing, Duff here? Happy Sunday. Getting out for a little bit of a late ride.
So, like I mentioned, I was wearing my chooch vest today. It looks like processing wise. I have too many things going on. I'm uploading a video to YouTube, trying to play this locally. I'm streaming, at the same time. So I think I'm kind of going crazy with my usage here. 50% CPU usage. It's a little high. Video card's not working hard at all, though. So, anyways, yeah, this is what I wore today.
Safety vests on the Carhartt rack.
Do I have any video controls?
And figured, yeah, why not? You know, when I'm going to be doing an extended ride.
I don't think I do.
Better safe than sorry. Can't be too visible, so got one.
I don't have a stop start on this, so.
I'm going to take the 18L.
I'm just going to kill it. But anyways, yeah, that's today's video. It's uploading. So Gadget Fan says you're waiting 2 weeks so far for the MSX. Okay, so you're waiting 2 weeks and third weekend in February, so that's not bad. So a month, yeah, that's acceptable. Yeah, hopefully it shows up on time. Glider Rider loves the 18XL. Yeah, I can understand why. 18XL is awesome. It is nice to have the range. It would have been nice to have today, so I wouldn't have range anxiety. You know, a spoiler, I didn't quite make it. So, and that's about a 30-mile ride. So, with an 18 XL, since it has about a 50% bigger battery pack, I would have been able to do that ride no problem. I actually, when I had the 18 XL, the demo unit, Cindy and I are, yeah, Cindy rode the Dualtron, I rode the 18 XL out to Ave Maria, and you know, we even rode around the town a little bit and rode back, and I still had no problems with battery. So, I don't have the only wheel I have that has a big battery pack is the Monster. The Monster has the 1600 watt battery in it, so that's really my only ultra cruising wheel. And it's a perfect wheel to do that. You know, I have the seat option, nice big tire. It's very comfortable in the open road, but I don't really have any other ultra cruising wheels. So. If there's anything I regret about the 18L is I didn't know about the 18XL. If I knew the 18XL was coming, I probably would have just waited and not gotten the 18L, to be honest with you. So, but I do love my 18L. Just wish I had a little bit more battery. And I do remember hearing something about Jason possibly offering like a battery upgrade deal with an 18L, but the cost was. At least to me, just way too much money. A lot more than what the price difference is between a new 18L and an 18XL. So, I'd have a hard time fiscally justifying that. I think I'll just ride the Monster if I need to go far, or the Dualtron. Barls Charkley says, "I don't remember who originated the quote, but there was a director who was asked, how long should a movie be? And he responded, how long is it good? That's how long your video should be." Okay, well, that's a good quote. One of the guys that I watch all the time, one of my favorite guys on YouTube, is Casey Neistat, and he does an incredible job of putting diverse content in a small time capsule. You know, a long video for him is 12 minutes or whatever. And I love his stuff. And there's a lot of guys like that. You know, like I mentioned earlier, Kuji is good at getting a more concise package to consume. But everyone's different. I mean, obviously everyone approaches a situation differently. And this is the way that I seem to get my point across. Some people like it. Some people don't. You know, I had a comment on my video about the drone incident at Yellowstone Park, which is only like a 10-minute video, like a 10 or 11-minute video, which is pretty good for me, where I talk about me getting prosecuted for flying a drone at Yellowstone Park because a park ranger saw my YouTube video, and I was prosecuted solely based on that YouTube video, for those of you that have never heard that story. But anyways, I got a comment on that video. He says, "Oh man, too long. I fell asleep, man." And then then he goes back and posts a second comment and says, "Oh man, and you pled guilty. What a tool," basically. And you know, just you can't please everybody, that's for sure. You know, if you're trying to make videos to put out there what you think other people are going to like as opposed to what you like and what you're comfortable with, more than likely it's not going to be very good content. So I do what I do, and people that like it, great. People that don't like it, sorry to hear that. But I am almost at 5,000 subscribers. So that's cool, huh? 5,000. It's funny, there must be something else going on in YouTube again. It's so, you see people, if you watch a lot of YouTube creator videos, you'll see people complaining about the AdSense program all the time, where it's just so up and down and inconsistent with the ad revenue that you get. You know, like my views are up and the view time is up, but for whatever reason the AdSense money for this past month is like down 20% or 25%, something like that, just out of the blue. YouTube just changes their policies in the background without telling people, and you hear people complain about that all the time. But it's, you know, this isn't my living. It's just something I do for fun, so it doesn't bother me that much. But it is kind of weird the way that they go about handling certain situations like that. Glider Rider says his 18XL is so comfy to ride. Yes, it is. Those pedals are great. I do wish I had a seat for it. I am kind of thinking about maybe fabricating. I have some very dense foam that one of my 3D printers came in. I would need it to be pretty high in order to accommodate my long legs and my strange build and lack of flexibility. But, yeah, I am thinking about maybe trying to fabricate some sort of weird seat attachment for it. I don't know. It would be nice. I was definitely thinking on the ride home today that it would be nice if I could sit down for a little bit. But I do not have anything like that right now. GadgetFan sold his 18L locally in Orlando. You got 3 offers within a day of listing it. Where did you get all these offers from? Certainly, I wouldn't think like Craigslist or something like that, because I don't think there's a lot of people looking to buy EUCs on Craigslist. Did you list it on the EUC forum and people were just local, or what? How'd you do that? Oh, okay, so you got 3 offers. You probably got 3 offers on the forum, but then you sold it locally for $1,100. Okay. Well, yeah, considering if you would have to ship it, then that's probably a wash, or you might actually come out a little bit ahead selling it locally. It's weird how the background changes depending on my position. I definitely am going to have to get a real... They make these screens that they're like old-style projector screens where it comes in its own case, and you just extend it up, and it's tight, it's taut, you know, because there's wrinkles in this backdrop behind me, that's why you're seeing the inconsistencies and stuff. So I think I'm going to definitely need to look into doing something like that. The XL is great on steep hills. Yeah, the 18XL has a lot of power. A lot of power. Just the top end is not what an MSX is, but power-wise, it's very smooth. It's very smooth to accelerate. It's very smooth to decelerate. And, you know, riding that today, it's such a contrast to the violent behavior that I'm used to riding that Ultron scooter. If you have both motors engaged and you just touch that trigger, again, if you saw that video when I was trying to pull out of the driveway, it was like chirping the tires. I was just touching the throttle, and it's so twitchy. You know, the 18XL is very smooth, very refined. I think several times I made a car reference and I said it reminds me of like an Audi or something like that. You know, not a muscle car, but just very 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 capable, with a high level of build quality. Jose has a 680-watt Gateway MCM4. Oh, the high torque. Yeah, I remember. They have the high torque models for that. I think mine was high torque as well. With 2,100 miles on it, really? That's pretty impressive for a 14-inch wheel. Yeah, 18 miles. Yeah, I don't think I ever got over 20 miles an hour on my MCM4. And 18 miles an hour isn't terribly slow. It's slow compared to an MSX or the latest generation wheels, but it's not terrible. Glider Rider, my favorite YouTuber is Tucker Gott. I actually know that guy. I've seen his stuff. I've seen him like power motor to McDonald's and stuff. Yeah, that's something else. I actually, when I watched his videos, I was thinking to myself, oh, do I want to get into power motoring? And I'm like, no, I don't. That'd be a bad way to die, you know. But yeah, his stuff is interesting, very very interesting. He goes really high in that thing sometimes. You say, I'm a close second favorite YouTuber. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Marty is a favorite too. Yep. I watch all Marty's stuff as well. Gadget Fan said you did list your 18L in the EUC forum. Yeah, I guess that's probably what I'll do with my M Super. See what I can get for it. I don't know. I was thinking maybe $500. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. B Times. I don't know if I've seen B-Times in the chat before. Maybe, maybe not. B-Times says, just got my first wheel, an 18L, and love it. Okay, good. Looking at videos, was surprised there were lots of older guys riding. I'm 40. Why do you think that is? So your point is, there's the EUC community is a lot of... There is young guys, but there's a lot of older people as well. And I definitely think that's why it is. I think it's a very expensive hobby. Extremely expensive. And you know, and since the tariffs have been engaged, it's gotten even worse. You know, there's tons of wheels that are going to set you back $2,000. There's not a lot of people that have that disposable income sitting around, so I think age definitely has a lot to do with that. Which is unfortunate, because, you know, for EUC to take off, for the EUC hobby to take off, you want more and more people to have access to them. But unfortunately, most things nowadays, the more prevalent they become and the longer that they're out, the less expensive they become, typically. You know, look at computers, for example, TVs. But with EUCs, that has not been the case. They've gone up in price, unfortunately. Like when I got my my M Super V3 at the time, which was, you know, the top tier wheel, it was $1,200. So, you know, now if you want to get an MSX, you'll probably spend more than $2,000. So, I don't think there's a lot of financially prudent people. You know, nowadays you hear so much about people living check to check, paycheck to paycheck, and if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you don't have the money to buy a $2,000 toy, for sure. So, the 18L is your first wheel, so I assume that you're riding it well at this point. I'm curious, like, how long it took you. If you review my videos, when I learned to ride on my 9.1E Plus, it was probably about 3 weeks until I was, you know, barely capable to safely, you know, maneuver around other people or, you know, minimal obstacles and stuff. I really struggled. It's really funny looking back at some of the things I got hung up on when I was learning to ride. But, you know, I learned basically just by watching YouTube videos. I didn't have anyone teach me, per se, and that is definitely a limiting thing. Sometimes even you can watch as many videos as you want, but having someone that has experience being able to, you know, work with you directly, I think has a lot of advantages, which I did not have. Although Cindy didn't really like me trying to teach her, so maybe that doesn't always work. So, okay, guys, well, if you have any other questions, let's throw them in the chat. Otherwise, I'm going to start winding things down, I think. We're still roughly at an hour and a half of time. Time flies when you're having fun. I thought Katie might be in the chat tonight, but she is not. Let's see. I'm trying to see what video are we playing now? Oh, we're at the school with the kids. Yeah, there's a middle school near us that almost every device that I own, basically we broke them in at this school. It's a big wide open parking lot. There's a lot of space, minimal traffic normally, so it's a great place to learn stuff. Very smooth roads. And close. It's about 3 miles. 3 miles from the house. Okay, so B-Time said that you were going to get the 18XL, but it was back-ordered. Yeah. Did you get it from E-Wheels? I assume. Yeah, let's see what their stock is right now. He has this spreadsheet that he keeps updated on his site. Well, I don't know how updated he keeps it, but it, like, lists his stock on things and turnaround times, that kind of stuff. Let's see what we're looking at now. What is in stock? Let's see. He's MCM5s in stock, King Song wheels, and Motion V5F. Lots of those. Stock is good. In Motion V8s, lots of those. Tesla, in Motion V10. So the 18L is low stock. 18S is low stock. And the 18XL says arriving February 15th. Oh, that's interesting. It says that the MSX is... He has a status of limited stock. I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean in stock? Let me see. So let's say, yes, I got way M Super MSX, $2,100. So that's a lot of money. Okay, yeah, it does say sold out. Next supply, third week of February. 18XL. What's it say about that? Out of stock, third week of February. So about, you're in the same boat. I'm sure there's a fine line to walk as a dealer. You know, you want to, customers want you to stock everything and have ample supply of everything, but you know, obviously these are very, very expensive things to inventory and to have an inventory. So it's not like you can keep hundreds of them available. So I'm sure that's a tight wire that Jason has to walk. XL will arrive the 27th. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're just learning anyways, B times, an 18L is going to be fine for you. It's going to be a long time till you would want something that's going to go the range of an 18XL. So I think you'll just be fine with an 18L. And I mean, if you put the big pedals on it, you get the most important upgrade from the 18L, other than the battery, obviously, but it is a very, very nice wheel. Steve says, you ride in NYC. Yeah. You do fine around people, but they look scared when they see me coming. Yeah, I see that as well. I see people that look scared. I see people that look annoyed. You know, a lot of times some of the people are annoyed that I'm on a bike path with them or whatever. Yeah, they get annoyed that I'm a motorized vehicle on a bike path. But I always try to, whenever I see someone, especially pedestrian, if I'm coming up behind them, I slow way down. I never, ever buzz by someone going at a high rate of speed just because of the possibility of them getting startled and you know, moving into my path, which you never know what someone's going to do. So I always slow it way down around pedestrians. So are you riding even in the winter up there, Steve? It's pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. You know, when I've ridden my EUCs, I think the coldest I've ever ridden any of my EUCs is maybe, like, it started out in the high 40s, maybe low 50s, and it was pretty damn cold, and didn't really ever warm up. Alright. Okay, so you live in Seattle. B Times lives in Seattle, so that's why you got the 18L, because it was available. You're riding in your basement now because it's snowing in Seattle. Okay, well, do you have a good sized basement, and how is that riding going? Are you able to balance without holding onto something? Are you still using balance assist from the walls or whatever? But you can learn in your basement, I guess. There's who was it? Was it Cliff Woods? Somebody put a ridiculous amount of mileage learning to ride in their hallway. All they did was they went back and forth in their hallway. It was a very narrow hallway, and so they could actually touch both sides of the walls with their hands for balance. But they learned more or less by doing that, by just going back and forth up and down the hallway. So it's kind of crazy. So yeah, using the same thought process, I guess you could learn in a basement as well. Not very much fun, but if you can balance in your basement going that slow, then you can probably balance in open spaces. So that's good. So Steve rides in the snow as long as it's not too deep. Really? Oof. I've seen multiple EUCs riding in the snow. Not something that I'm looking to do anytime soon. Fat Unicyclist says, I'm bang on about that. I'm not sure what I'm bang on about. So you're struggling with, okay, yeah, okay, so you're not the dealer up in Canada, are you? you're struggling with Segway, so you've pulled the Z10. So you're struggling with support from Segway or Ninebot Segway. So you stopped selling the Z10. Wow, they're going to really screw themselves. Well, I think they already have. What it sounds like, Ian doesn't have any available on his site. Jason has them pulled off of his site. People are asking for alternatives. Okay. So you must have been referring to what I was saying about the fine line that dealers have to walk as far as what they can stock versus trying to keep the moderate customer satisfaction. Because you know it's nowadays with everyone having Amazon Prime and getting accustomed to getting anything that they want in 2 days, when you got to turn around and say someone, oh yeah, you know. Thank you for buying your $2,000 EUC. It'll show up in 3 months. It's a tough sell, but it's understandable why it's not. You can't have the quick turnaround with that kind of product, unfortunately. Although I'm sure people would like it. Although you can buy some EUCs on Amazon, I think. I don't know. Maybe you can't. I bought my S2 off Amazon, actually. Or send an S1 when they had that crazy deal when they were selling them for $299. I did do that. Let me see if they. I don't think I've seen. Okay. Oh, they sell skins, mini pros. Oh wow. Okay, someone's selling. InMotion actually sells the V10F on Amazon. But it says free shipping, but it does not say Prime. So, I mean, you could buy it from them, and it could still be, you know, a month, if not longer. Let's see, what does it say? $1,600 for a V10F. Is that a good price? I don't know. That actually doesn't sound that bad. Free shipping, but it does not say how long it will take. But they do seem to have more EUCs on here than they used to. You can get a V8 on there. Interesting. But no Z10s. Nope. Interesting. Glider Rider. I can't imagine someone outgrowing an XL, a Kingsong 18 XL. Yeah, no, I don't think you really could, unless you're someone like Marty, you know. But even that is, I mean, he's taken the 18 XL 60 miles, I think. He got right around 60 miles on it. And that's kind of his upper limit, I think, so. No, I can't see someone outgrowing an 18 XL either. You know, the only thing out there that's going to outdo it range-wise is like a 2,400 watt-hour monster. That's really about it. Steven says, in referring to riding around pedestrians, you're conscientious. Good. I'm glad. Because everybody definitely is not conscientious. That's a dying art nowadays. So Glider Rider says, going postal was the guy that was riding in his hallway all winter. Was he also the guy that didn't? Yeah, I think Cliff was. Cliff's going postal. I think he's the one that he bought an M Super, ran it into a door jam, and it popped the board, I think, when he was doing his hallway riding. I might be a little fuzzy in those details or a little off in those details, but I think that's what happened. Popped the board, and he was very pissed off, and he swore off Gotways after that, I think. Fat Unicyclist referring to Ninebot Segway about their issues and the reason that he stopped carrying the Z10 was because of the way that they are supporting their products, which is not well at all. So, understandable. Rocky Top says his wife learned that way, as in riding in the hallway. Okay, well, I don't have a hallway in my house, but I can definitely see how it would work. Fat Unicyclist says, the other problem with being a dealer, competing with Amazon. Yeah, like I was saying, Amazon sets the bar and expectations that are not, they're just not realistic for a lot of businesses, especially a PEV dealer, definitely. Jose bought his from a guy in California, got it in 4 days, but he's no longer selling EUCs. Oh, did you get yours from my Fun Wheel? What's the guy's name? Damien? No, what was his name? Yeah, myfunwheel.biz. I bet that's who you got it from. Because he just kind of faded away. I don't know what actually happened to him. I mean, he's still around, but he obviously got out of the EUC business, probably because it was too frustrating. Man, I have a lot of videos. I could probably just stream these things for freaking a week straight. It's crazy. Oh, Going Postal has an KS18S. Okay. I've never ridden an 18S yet either. I kind of would like to at some point, you know, with the integrated seat. I know the form factor is kind of weird, but it actually might be good for someone like me, you know, tall guy. Oh. All right, let's close that. Let's close that. My video. What? You seem to have logged out in another window. You must be logged in to upload videos. Oh man, I hope my upload didn't get hosed. Alright, so B-Time's talking about his basement riding. I only have enough room to go 20 feet and then make a tight turn, basically. I can go in circles, but I'm learning. Well, if you can go in, I mean, that's a skill for sure. You know, being able to turn is a challenge for most beginners. It certainly was a challenge for me. I'm curious how you'll feel when you're out going faster. That's what it feels, at least for me. I had a lot of problems with wobbling when I was learning. And it was more, I was sure that there was something wrong with the wheel, but it really was just my lack of conditioning and lack of confidence as well. And learning to ride was really as much of a mental challenge as a physical challenge for me. So yeah, I'm curious how you'll feel when you get out and you start going 10 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, you know, eventually 20 miles an hour, and what that will feel like. Because I bet that it's going to feel a little weird, a little disconcerting, I would say. Dion, okay, yeah, Dion was the name. Dion from My Fun Wheel Biz. Again, when I was just starting in the hobby, I watched a lot of his videos. Yeah, he got me pumped up for it. And I wonder what happened to him. Because he sold mostly Gotways, I think. He sold some other brands as well, but mostly Gotways. But I can see how if you're not careful, you could really get in the hole. If you start selling the wrong wheel, or if you don't do a great job in customer service and that kind of stuff, it doesn't take long to get a bad reputation, and I'm sure it's a very tough business. Because I know in Jason's position, there's times where it's so difficult and tedious to get warranty parts from these manufacturers that he buys these parts just so he can service customers, and he's taking that money out of his pocket, hoping that he's going to eventually get a good part, you know, from the manufacturer, which is not a given. So, it's not a business I would ever want to get in, for sure. Too much hassle. So okay, guys, we're okay. Be time. You're 40 miles. Top speed 20. You got up to 23? Well, not in your basement you didn't, I don't think. If you did, that's quite a feat. Yeah, I didn't go 20 miles an hour for a long time. So, okay, guys, I do have to go to work tomorrow, and I appreciate everyone that's been hanging in there tonight. I like this. I don't know how you guys like it, but I kind of like having the videos playing in the background. Kind of visually gives you something. If you get tired of looking at my face, gives you something else to kind of keep your attention as well. So I'll probably try to expand on this in the future. Maybe come up with a better setup than this mess that I have in front of me. My eyes are burning from having I have two lights hitting me from either side right now, and it's not the best situation. All my first views, blah blah blah. Fat unicyclist talking about, okay. Let me just talk about these quick. Fat unicyclist talking about Gatway. Yeah, that is something that Gatway does more than anybody, is they turn over models like crazy. So I don't know how they are about supporting their older models, but I mean, they, since I've gotten into the EUC hobby, I'm trying to think how many models that they've put out. 8, maybe 9, 10. I can't even keep track. And then they iterate on their older models. You know, you had the M Super V2, then the M Super V3, and then the M Super VS 3 Plus, and then the M Super MSX, MCM3, MCM4, MCM5, and they roll their product line over so quickly. Maybe because they're so small, it's easier for them to do that, but compared to the other manufacturers, the way they can release new models is unprecedented. And in some ways that's good, some ways that's bad. Especially quality control, when you're looking at the past, you know, some of their past problems. Steve, your M10... Steve said, I didn't catch you had an M10-3 as well. Well, as far as I know, the M10-3, the posted top speed was 25. I didn't know it would cut off right there. Usually they post the top speed a little below cutoff, but yeah, sorry to hear that. I would never go 25 on an M10-3, though. No thanks. No thanks. Okay, Jose. Thank you for the compliments. I appreciate it. So anyways, guys, I'm going to sign off and look for that video that I'm uploading to post sometime later tonight. And as of now, I am planning to do another live stream on February 24th, same time. And thanks again for stopping by. Spread the word. If you know anyone that didn't catch the show, but they have time to listen to the podcast version, I always convert all of these shows to a podcast that you can listen to on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or you can just use the RSS link to load up the feed, the podcast feed. Convert them all over to podcasts, so you can always digest the stuff that way as well. So, and a lot of people do that, so it's kind of cool. So, all right, so thanks again for stopping by, and until next time.